Baker still in the house? No. Mr. Fred Blatt is.
Andy Baker is not in the house. Apparently, Andy Baker thought this item would take longer and has left to run another staff member back to the house where the pizzas are for dinner. And we'll be back shortly, I learned.
So Gary Reinertsen has found out a way to shorten his comments.
Perhaps you could take up some of the other items or...
Well, we have one other item. Actually, we could do one of two things. We could either hear the KFAT or we could bump KFAT.
I think that that's what he was taking.
I think KFAT left with Andy.
Say that again.
Bump KFAT. I think the suggestion to do that another time would be as appropriate.
Oh, duly noted. That had already been suggested.
Noted. That's...
Yeah, so that's, they're both gone. So therefore, Fred, this is your item to deliberate.
One thing, though, if there's anyone in the audience that wants to talk on KFAT, I'd at least like to hear them if they waited the whole meeting for that, so we can ask before we postpone it.
Okay, I admit I'm a bit confused here, Mr. Executive Officer. Are you going to, we want to wait on this item, wait for Andy to return, or is Fred, pinch hitter?
I would prefer that we roll right now and give this presentation because, and Fred, I would ask if you could give it.
I'll try.
Fred, you're on.
How do I get out of this?
Ask Katie, she'll show you.
You know, I've been telling the sound man that we need some music, background music, fill in.
Like at the rodeos between the bull riding events, some kind of roar to get the crowd.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, so. You said you're joking. I'm dying. Thank you. I'm Fred Blatt. Senior environmental scientist and head of the Northern Timber Unit. Andy was going to give you a presentation, an update on the Shasta River TMDL renewal. Let's see what he's prepared for us.
I believe the art of improv is you just go with it.
So we're going to give you our staff's preliminary approach for renewing the Shasta River TMDL waiver, and to seek board input on our proposed process. Shasta River Watershed is located...
Watch which button you push there.
Don't
touch it. Does it say laser?
That's it. Right.
It's located right here. It's a major tributary to the Klamath River. And it's listed as impaired for temperature and dissolved oxygen. The action plan for the Shasta River TMDL and conditional waiver were adopted in January of 2007. And that waiver was set to expire in January of 2012, and you have extended it until August of 2012 this year. The current priorities for the Shasta TMDL waiver are to minimize the discharge of hot nutrient-laden water, tail water returns to coho rearing habitats, to protect cold water spring refugia. They're doing that in part by dedicating sufficient cold water through either the 1707 or water trust programs. There's been extensive restoration of riparian vegetation in suitable areas, and they'll continue that as a priority as well. Ongoing action items. Staff will continue to work with the Shasta RCD. They'll continue to develop ranch planning, provide ranch planning assistance to livestock grazers out there to deal with tail water return issues, fencing riparian areas, reducing impacts from the cattle operations. They want to also continue with landowner outreach and education with our staff and also working through the RCD. And they also want to continue to work on water use and flow issues. continue the efforts on the Water Trust and a pilot 1707 dedications and tailwater and watering system improvements. The next steps are in revising the waiver are we've already had one meeting and we're beginning to develop a Shasta River monitoring program to assess the TMDL, to assess the implementation of the TMDL, to assess some of the programs and projects that have been implemented, repairing and fencing projects, projects to deal with managing tailwater return, reducing those, eliminating those. So that program, that monitoring program has just started. We're going to be assessing what data is out there, who's collecting what data already, what the data looks like, who has it housed in what form, and then begin to assess what other data we might want to be collecting to help answer the questions of how effective the TMDL implementation is working. Part of our outreach on revising the waiver is going to work with the stakeholders and the RCD as we revise the waiver. We clearly don't want to just do it in a vacuum. As you've seen with a lot of the other programs, the dairy program, we want to be working with our stakeholders out there to make sure that what we're proposing and what they know and can help us propose that will be successful is what we come up with. So we want to work together with them, and that's how we're going to approach it. We plan to release a revised draft conditional waiver for public comment by the end of June. And then we also plan to hold regional board workshops while the waiver is out for public comment, draft waiver is out for public comment. Probably will be the first week of August, we hope August 1st and 2nd. And then at our January 23rd board meeting, we'll be asking you to consider a short-term extension of the waiver. Given Mr. Massey's concerns for continued extensions, I may hedge my bets and go wish for an extension that's much farther than where I hope to actually have this waiver approved by, so that we don't have to come back and ask for another one and get it done early. So we'll be seeing you in August to ask you to consider an extension. And then our plan is to come to you at the October board meeting up in Wairika and have you consider adoption of the revised conditional waiver. Any questions?
Nice job, Fred. One thing this does in putting out that schedule, that tentative schedule, could I go ask you to go back one?
Sure.
You find the back button there? Is the August 23rd potential asking for a short-term extension to October would align the adoption and workshop process with the Scott River, which is a sister watershed to the west of this. I do think that's a smart thing to do. My understanding is, just for information for other board members as well, is that the July or early August workshop is a two-day workshop that would take those as a two-step.
So that
we would do a workshop for the Shasta and then the Scott sequentially in a 2-day extension. Two-day process.
Right.
And that then so we would align that work, align those watersheds in that way.
Right.
Okay. Any questions, Ms. Harris?
Real quick. How are things with the landowners up there? You still getting cooperation through via the RCD or?
I have to be honest with you. Andy just joined the Northern Timber Unit. I just took this work on with him, so I'm not as familiar with it as
okay.
Andy is. I know that he has made some progress, but he's looking forward to working for a couple more years to this project because he's pretty dedicated to it. And that's really what he wants to focus on once we get the revision and renewal accomplished, is that he wants to work up in the watershed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's even talking about perhaps moving up to the area so that he can dedicate more time and have less of his time taken up his travel.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some cooperation. I know that they did. Again, it's my knowledge on the watershed is pretty limited at this point, but from what I understand, that there was some initial outreach to many landowners, up to 150 landowners or maybe more, and that some of them have come forward and participated in developing ranch plans and helping to deal with they've had tailwater projects put in place. Part of it is to part of the outreach is to keep those systems functioning and make sure they pay attention to it and continue to do that. I also understand that there's been a lot of riparian fencing that has been put in, mm-hmm. and he's going to continue to look for those opportunities with the RCD, the help of the RCD. But Andy could probably give you a lot more detail on it than I can at this point.
Yeah, well, we've had some updates, and it looks like stuff's definitely happening, so that's good.
Mr. Messing, I noticed you moved your microphone again.
Well, I did. It's been a relatively quiet 5 years since we put this in. How big a change are we looking for in round two?
What we'd like to do with the waiver is revise it and remove things that are not practical or fell off, that aren't the agencies that were going to help us do it are not interested. There's a fish and game process that was mm-hmm. envisioned, and apparently fish and game is not going to be helping us with that. So we want to take those things off. Mm-hmm. Things that have been completed, we want to acknowledge those and remove those as well because they're done. And then, so it's going to shrink down that table four that was in the action plan mm-hmm. and our basin plan to eliminate those things. And Andy plans, he wants to focus in on those other items that I showed. He really wants to work with ranches, the ranches that are out there that where he thinks tailwater. He can get the biggest bang for the buck on tailwater mm-hmm. and riparian issues. And he frankly wants to be looking at enforcement issues as well.
Hi, Andy.
We have some last-minute issues, I think.
Yeah, I heard it was a pepperoni and a cheese. Is that, that's what I heard.
I wish.
Okay. We just heard about the... You kind of missed it, but... we were just talking about the Shasta River TMDL, and your colleague brought us up to date and ran through it, and I don't think we need to repeat it at this point again. But at the same time, the next steps, would you at least care to, I don't know if you have any comments you want to add to this or how your vision lies with this now, Andy, all kidding aside about pepperoni and whatnot, but about your vision of how we get to October and get a revised waiver here.
So did you go over the last steps, or do you want me to do that? Or
you can retrace some ground here, by the way, Andy, because I think it would be valuable for you mm-hmm. to... You have experience here and on-the-ground experience. I'd be interested in what you have to say.
But you don't want me to go over the last...
You could do... please, at your pleasure, do what you need to do to get where you need to go here.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the monitoring plan that's been long overdue?
That would be great.
We are working. We have Clayton and we have K-Bump that we're working with and Clayton Krieger from your staff. And we're moving ahead on that. And Kat, before she left, put us on a deadline to get a draft out by August. So we're hoping to have something together. And... a monitoring plan can be very complicated. Some people want something that's really comprehensive, and it can also be very expensive to implement and put together. So we're trying to figure out where are we going to get the money, where are we going to get the resources. Putting together a committee of people in the watershed that are doing monitoring or that are interested stakeholders. We're trying to pull together all the monitoring data that we can put our hands on out there, because there's a lot of different groups that are doing monitoring. We have the Nature Conservancy doing monitoring. We have Fish and Game doing monitoring. The RCD's doing monitoring. UC Davis Watershed Science is doing monitoring. Consultants are doing monitoring. So there's a lot to pull together. So we need to coordinate, because we don't necessarily know who's doing what. People aren't necessarily sharing their data. That's probably the first big step, is to pull everybody together. What are you doing? Will you share your data? Some people are a little reluctant to do that, we're finding. So that's it's going to be a huge challenge to put this together. I don't want to make it seem like we can just do it quickly or easily. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take money and resources.
Mr. Corbett?
Yeah, just two quick questions. One, the 1707 dedication of water to in-stream uses had been going very slowly and difficult and challenging. Has there been any better processing of those at the State Water Resource Control Board level, Water Rights Division?
Basically, the Nature Conservancy has taken the lead on that. And we got an update from Amy Campbell from the Nature Conservancy. They have a few stakeholders, people that have water rights, including themselves. They have quite a bit of water, the Nature Conservancy. Right. And they want to dedicate some of that. And they can only dedicate the part that they actually consume. That means what the plants use, evapotranspiration. And then there's a possibility of getting some other diverters to do a 1707, or there's also the Water Trust that Nature Conservancy, RCD, and of course we support all this. So they're looking at finding landowners with cold spring water or just cold water, the good water, and possibly leasing that or buying it, you know, during critical times of the year when it's hot, when the fish need the water, and keep it in the river, particularly the area around downstream of Lake Shasteen and Dwinnell, where most of the spring water is, and the coho habitat, the remaining coho habitat is, and the Nature Conservancy, Big Springs, of course.
Some of that was also the Little Shasta, wasn't it?
The Little Shasta has potential, too. Unfortunately, there's so many diversions that fish haven't been able to get up there to migrate upstream to spawn, as far as I know. But there's some good cold spring water up there, and David Norton and I took a tour up there, and there's a willing landowner up there that really wants to do something, but he's hitting some roadblocks, I think.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Master.
Andy, I asked just before you got here, we've gone through the first 5 years of the waiver now. My sense of it is that politically things have calmed down somewhat. There doesn't seem to be the animosity that there was arbitrarily 5 years ago. You're rolling your eyes. Maybe I'll just put it right there and let you have at it. but with the second iteration of the waiver, the next 5 years, Fred was saying that he thought monitoring was a big thing. You've talked about monitoring. How much resistance is there to that?
To monitoring, I haven't heard a whole lot of resistance. Whether or not we get access to all the areas that we want to monitor, that's another question. But we've got a number of areas that we have access to. There's public roads, the canyon, you know, TNC. We've been monitoring. There's been monitoring going on a large landowner, up Parks Creek, Upper Watershed. So there's pretty good access, but I'm sure there's landowners that don't want any of this monitoring or us to be on their property, but I don't think that's a huge roadblock at this point.
So we can, when we do get to a hearing, it'll be nice and smooth and quiet, and we just do it.
Well, getting back to your first comment where I was shaking my head, whether things have calmed down or not, a lot of the uproar was associated with the fishing game coho incidental take permit program, coho recovery plan. Unfortunately, that got a lot of people riled up because they were worried about losing their water rights and their property rights, and they all got organized And, you know, you might be right. Maybe some of that's died down now. And a lot of that, it's more towards the Scott River side. So maybe now is a good time for us to move forward. Maybe the dust has settled a little bit. That's my hope. You know, the RCD had a big setback on that as far as trust and the perception that they might be too regulatory or connected to regulatory agencies, which they're not. Of course, they're just there to assist landowners to comply with the regulation, but there was that perception that they were too connected with Fish and Game and that program. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I feel reasonably assured that when the feeling at first was we're going to take two steps forward and three steps back, and you don't get anywhere that way. But it sounds like maybe we can, in fact, do the second 5 years of a waiver with monitoring, with further information, further work on the watershed, yeah, without too much. Spending too much of our time dealing with the political side of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's more like three steps forward and two steps back. It's always a difficult road, and it's kind of like a roller coaster. You make some progress, and then, you know, the next thing you know, something happens, and, you know, like the things I just talked about, and you kind of feel defeated, but I'm kind of feeling like now's the time for us to make some progress, and we need to be on the ground. We definitely do. There's this talk. You know, we have plenty of carrots, programs, incentives for landowners who want to cooperate, who want to work on their riparian recovery, want to work on their tailwater. But then there's quite a few who need a little extra nudging by somebody from a regulatory agency, because there really isn't any agency out there pushing regulation or anything right now. But I think that's something that if we did it carefully and, you know, went out and worked with the ranchers up there and gained some trust, I feel like I've got a fair amount of trust with a lot of them, you know, over the last 5 years or so. And maybe I can continue that. Maybe we can talk about that later this afternoon, about my plans, my personal plans or something.
John Corbett.
Very quickly, it seems to me we generally pick 5 years because it's a regulatory burden. We should consider a shorter time period if staff thinks that's valuable. But certainly if we go 5 years, I'd like a lot of concrete steps to measure progress.
Yes. Yeah.
And I realize that's really hard to do in that watershed. But on the other hand, if we don't do it,
I've got some
might be worse.
Pretty good assurance from my new executive officer that we're going to have some increased resources and staff. Holly Lundborg from your staff is working with me on the waiver. She wrote up the first draft. We're going to be meeting and going over that with her next week. And of course, if you paid attention to the time schedule, we're supposed to have that out by the end of the month. And I'm pretty sure, working with Holly, that we'll have that done. And again, Clayton Krieger is going to be helping with the monitoring and K-Bump and the Klamath program, and possibly Rich Fadness of your staff, who's our monitoring person. So I have some other ideas about getting some help on the ground, too, that I've been talking with Matt and my new supervisor, Fred, here. So I have a plan in my mind, and I think it's a good one, that I want to continue doing this.
I wanted to mention that, you know, let me know or let us know collectively when the workshops are finally scheduled. I attended both the Scott and the Shasta workshops last year. I think they're of great value to be there.
Absolutely.
And I will commit myself to go to both those. If other board members are free to go, that would be great. I think now is the time. I agree with John Corbett that, you know, we have a unique opportunity in the Shasta to recalibrate what our efforts are, to reevaluate where we're at, evaluate where we want to go. The same is true in the Scott. I think these are unique watersheds, and they're tough. They are.
I'm hopeful. Yeah, we can make some good progress. We have made good progress, you know, but we have hit these stumbling blocks, and I think now is the time to move forward. And, you know, we've tried workshops and getting people to come to these workshops, and we've been somewhat successful. What I'm finding is, you know, going out and meeting the ranchers face-to-face, one-on-one, that makes a big difference. Not all of them want to, you know, meet the regulatory person out there, but once they see a face on government, I think it can make a difference. And we had a former staff person here that was working on the Coho recovery plan for fish and game named Andrew Jensen, formerly of your staff. And he did a lot of that working with the Shasta ranchers, going out and evaluating their lands for the ITP before that program ended. And he agrees with me. You go out there, they want to chat with you. You know, if you mention hunting or fishing, man, you're you know, they'll talk about that or, you know, whatever it is, family and all this kind of stuff. But they'll show you what they're doing. And, you know, that's what I think we need to do is do more of that. And I got a plan I can talk to you about, too.
Can I speak?
Absolutely. Heidi Harris.
I think, from my experience anyway, you know, most large landowners are busy people. They have a lot going on. But if you show interest in what they're doing, then they'll show interest in what you're doing. Because most of them, the folks that I've always worked with, they're hardworking. And even if they don't like your truth, they will respect you for your truth, you know. So, yeah, I'm all about a cup of coffee and a tailgate. You can make gigantic leaps in trust, you know. When you say you're going to do something, do it. And most of the time, like I said, even if they might not like your regulation or they might not too much enjoy some of it, but if it's truth and you're there when you say you're going to be there, then they'll respect that.
Yeah, and I think if you explain what it is they need to do, a lot of times it's not all that difficult. The biggest thing we need to convey to them is they need to manage their tailwater. Go out there and turn it off before it reaches the river. Monitor it. You know, just manage it so it doesn't reach the river. And when you do that, you're also conserving water, and we can keep the good water in and the bad water out. And that's going to be, I think, the biggest challenge is the tailwater issue. That's something that we have authority on, unlike dedicating water and water rights issue. But it's tied together. If, you know, we can talk them into managing their tailwater and conserving that water, you know, there's opportunity to keep more good water in the river and the bad water out. So that's going to be one of my main focuses because, you know, most of the fencing's done. We have a riparian grant, a program, a committee, a working group that's working on that complicated issue of what kind of tree grows where and what trees won't grow anywhere along the river. It's just, as you guys know by now, a totally different world out there. It's high arid desert, and it's not your typical North Coast conifer and oak forest type of setting. It's totally different, so...
I think that the monitoring program will help also inform that. That it'll not only inform what you know, but maybe what you don't know out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, listen, we will see you in August for sure. But, again, let us know as a board when this is scheduled to have workshops up there.
Yes, oh, for sure, definitely.
Okay.
You can all come.
Thank you both. Thanks for standing in, Fred.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Sorry I was...
It's okay. God, he's masterful, you know.
I didn't expect that
it's okay.
to happen.
It's no problem.
I'm taking care of my fellow staff person is what I was doing. I was not eating pizza.
Although it was there.
It's
there was like a stack.
Believe it.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right, so I understand.